One of the biggest frustrations politicians often mention is a frustration with the ability to get things done. There's a lot of factors that combine to make it difficult to ensure that the state is able to achieve the outcomes those at its helm would often wish for. Efforts to reduce poverty bear witness to the challenges of ensuring that public services deliver for everyone. It's a major challenge for governments across the world, no matter what the size of their GDP or tax revenue. So how do we enhance the role of public services in ensuring nobody is left behind when the next framework of development goals is agreed? But more importantly, how do we help governments get things done? It's a lively debate. Whilst everybody accepts the importance of understanding country contexts, there is some disagreement about what this means in practice. The president of the World Bank, Jim Kim, has pushed the idea of a science of delivery, which advocates tasking a small number of people with measuring and ensuring the delivery of services. Critics suggest this ignores the size of the political hurdles they may face. Owen Bader and others advocate a complexity approach that concedes many political problems are often impossible to fully get your head around and advocates a more iterative or adaptive approach. But this time, critics suggest there's a risk of overlooking valuable lessons about what does work. So is there a middle ground? ODI recently hosted an event to discuss the politics of delivery. We were joined by Shanta Devarajan, the World Bank's chief economist for the Middle East and North Africa. I caught up with him and Lenny Wild of the ODI's Politics and Governance programme to explore this a little bit further. I began by asking Lenny for her take on the debate.
I think what is great is that we're building up a much better picture of this puzzle of why is it so hard to get equitable and better quality services in many countries. And there's some important contributions that have been made. The World Bank's science of delivery approach, for example, puts a really important emphasis on implementation, on delivery, on getting things done. But we know that it takes more than just delivery units and better targets to actually improve services in that way. Equally, discussion on complexity offers some really good contributions because we know that development processes are much more messy, unpredictable, they involve lots of stakeholders. Recognising that is good, but we also know that doesn't answer all of the questions of why some governments seem to do better than others in delivering services despite those issues.
So are there common problems that we start from when looking at this issue? Shanta Devarajan says so.
Oh, for sure, there are some common problems. Some of them are not as obvious as they seem. I mean, we do observe services being delivered poorly to poor people in particular. And the common problems are that the service providers are frequently not accountable to anybody. So that's why we observe teachers are absent, teachers are unqualified, medicines get stolen from the clinics, and overall the operation of the system is dysfunctional when it comes to serving poor people. But there's another set of common problems, which we're discussing today at ODI, which is that the underlying political system actually conspires to make service delivery difficult. Often the money that is allocated for, say, health and education is captured in order to serve the non-poor. So that's why you observe free public hospitals concentrated in urban areas and very little money going towards primary clinics, and even less money going to immunization services, which is what poor people really need. And this is a very difficult problem to crack because it's the underlying politics of the country. Often it's captured by labor unions, but not always. Sometimes there's a dictator in charge who doesn't care about poor people. I mean, just to give you one example, Gabon, which is a very wealthy country, it's an oil-rich country with a per capita income of $10,000. Has the second lowest child immunization rate in Africa. So they have lower immunization rates than Togo or Eritrea, which have a tenth of their per capita income.
And according to Lenny, they are not the only ones.
So there's issues, I think, about whether people really believe the promises that politicians are making in terms of service delivery, but also whether voters are voting on that basis, or whether it's on the private benefits that perhaps they receive from their MP. Another issue is whether people, particularly those in power, are able to corner and to dominate a particular process. So in Nepal, for example, when we've looked at issues of why are there no health workers or not enough health workers in rural areas, we can see it's partly about the power of unions and political parties and political patronage that means certain people can stay in more privileged areas in Kathmandu rather than going to their rural postings. There are issues about whether different groups are able to come together and to address problems together. Sometimes we think this is something that should be fixed by our local authority or by our MP, but in reality it takes inputs from lots of different people, from lots of different levels of government, and also from outside government, sometimes from citizens themselves. And are we able to do that? There are issues about whether there are sanctions for performance and clear roles and responsibilities. In Malawi, for example, where there have been critical shortages of medicines, we can see part of the problem actually lies in erratic processes of decentralisation, where people no longer are very clear on who's responsible for different elements of drug supply, and that opens up the space for mismanagement of some of those medicines. And finally, I think there are issues about whether you can really get away with doing something or not doing something because of the actions of others. So sometimes, for example, where aid is stepping in to provide aspects of services, it can really remove the incentives that governments might have to take on that delivery function themselves. Now, there are other dynamics too, but these, from our experience, have been some of the most common ones and some of the ones which can be most detrimental to improving issues of equity, but also access to services.
So there are plenty of problems. What do we know about the answers? According to Shanta, accountability and transparency are key factors when you look at which governments have performed well.
Governments have dealt, the ones that have dealt with this problem well are the ones where they've been forced to do so by their own citizens. So it's not because they read the 2004 World Development Report or somebody came from Washington or London to tell them how to do this, but rather that enough citizens were empowered to demand better services. So and I think a good example is in India, when this group called Pratham started examining school children and found that their test scores were very low. And they did it throughout the country and they publicized it. And the information now became part of the general lexicon. And then the government couldn't ignore the fact that they were putting a lot of money into public schools and not having anything to show for it. So I think the examples I've seen have all been ones where the citizens, and the majority of whom are poor and are suffering from these poor services, are able to bring pressure to bear on the political system.
So what does this mean for aid donors who are trying to support public service delivery?
Well, I think recognising these issues gives us some good pointers in terms of what kinds of conditions might need to be in place for large-scale investment in public services. But I think it also goes further than that, because it also gives us some signs of what aid itself could do to change in the way that it's delivering its support. A couple of clear things come out. One is that reforms really need to be led by domestic stakeholders. That might often be governments themselves, but it also can be others, it can be citizens, it can be other groups within a country, but they need to be in the driving seat, and that donors should really be playing a role that's about facilitating, supporting, and nudging those processes along rather than trying to come in and substitute for them. But secondly, I think if we start with this idea of a more problem-driven approach, I think it leads us to understanding that we need much more flexible and adaptive models as well. This isn't about planning and having all your activities pinned down over a 3 or a 5 year period. It's about setting some clear objectives, but then opening yourself up to respond to changing conditions on the ground, to adapt as your environment changes in terms of the kind of support that you give. And you know, this should really be common sense. If we're setting out on a long car journey, we keep our destination fixed, but we vary our route depending on the things we encounter on the road, the traffic, the roadblocks. And so, if it makes sense when we do that, you know, it should make sense when we think about these much more complex reform processes as well.
And what about for donors like the World Bank? How can their aid make a difference?
Well, aid is not just money. Aid is about a program of assistance to a country in order to solve some of the problems of the country. So you take a question like service delivery, and we can actually provide knowledge assistance, including collecting some of this data. I mean, one of the things that we do now in Africa is actually collect data on service delivery indicators and put it out there for the public to see. That's a form of aid. But what it does is that it actually then, as I was saying before, can mobilize citizens to bring pressure to bear on the system for reform, which then could make the direct financial assistance more productive. So you need that combination, but you need it in that direction, that is the knowledge assistance drives the lending assistance.